Yes, off and running on a Friday morning. Welcome in. It is Gordon Damer with you here on The Fan. Your overnight oasis taking you up until 5 o'clock, at which time it is the warm-up show that comes your way. Oh, of course, the number you know, 888-808-1019. You can find me on Twitter, @GordonDamer. Want to hit me up there as well. Lots to discuss, plenty to get into. The next 3 hours to do so at 888-808-1019. But, you know, we got some NFL stuff, and this is kind of the calm before the storm. Doesn't really feel like the NFL season ended all that long ago, right? The Super Bowl doesn't feel like it was all that long ago, but the beauty of the NFL is that there is no offseason. You know, they used to say that about baseball, there is no offseason. Now the offseason is the you're like waiting around the whole winter, basically, hoping your team will make a move or two. But with the NFL, we are, what? The legal tampering period, that starts on Monday at noon. So you'll start to, if not before then, get some reports about this guy going here and this guy going there and this trade with this player and that player. And we got some of that stuff today. And then the new league year, that starts on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So this is really the calm before the storm, before we get things, and already things are percolating. And what you saw today, and we'll get into it at 888-808-1019, is the pressure impacts organizations. It impacts franchises, especially when the expectation is to win. You know, last night we talked about the Knicks and, you know, the loss to the Thunder and how there are no moral victories because the Knicks' expectations are as high as the expectations can be. We all know that. We're all on the same page on that. The Knicks must get to the NBA Finals at the very least this year. Otherwise, the season is a failure. But they're not the only team that's in that position. If you're looking for an NFL team that is in a similar position, actually in some ways in a worse position, that would probably be the Buffalo Bills. The Bills in the NFL, after failing to make a Super Bowl again this year, you have seen the fallout almost immediately, right? They fire the head coach. They go out now. They make a trade for DJ Moore with the Chicago Bears. They give up a second-round pick, which is not nothing. You know, you take a look at the NFL draft. Everybody focuses on the first round, right? All the mock drafts are about the first round. And some weirdos out there are mock drafting the first three. You know, what are you going to do? We love football. We can't get enough football. But a second-round pick, if your team is doing a halfway decent job, historically, second-round picks hit at around the same rate as a first-round pick. But you take a look on the pressure this year for the Buffalo Bills. They're making changes, right? They changed the head coach, but they have to change the roster as well. And they've kind of been spinning in place ever since they decided to turn the page on Stephon Diggs. They have been looking to replace his production, and they've not really been able to replace that production. So when you look at DJ Moore, it's a good name, but his production has dropped. His yardage numbers have dropped. 2023 had 1,300 yards. 2 years ago, 966 yards. And then this year, career low, 682 yards. A significant drop in usage, in efficiency. Targets dropped significantly over 3 years. Last year, his lowest since his rookie season. His catch rate has dropped. His broken tackle rate has dropped. All the different angles of a player at the age of 29, there are certainly some troublesome signs of kind of hitting a decline phase. And he's not cheap. He's got a contract that runs through 2029. He's got an annual salary of about $27.5 million. And again, 29 years old. Numbers dropping across the board. But the Bills feel like, hey, we got to go out and make some impact moves. And at least DJ Moore's name is an impact name. But in terms of production, matching up with the salary has not done so. And the Bears, with some good young pass catchers, I would think that they're going to expect more from Rome Odunze, but you saw the tight end this past year in Loveland. The kid Burden was certainly coming through later in the season. So they're fine moving off of DJ Moore. And Brandon Bean probably should be on the hot seat, probably if you're moving off the head coach in Sean McDermott, it's not out of the realm of possibility to say, you know what, probably should have moved off the GM as well. But that didn't happen. And Brandon Bean, when you hear him speak, and he doesn't speak all that often, but when you hear him speak, he certainly has an arrogance to him. Remember last year, I don't remember the station, but I think it was a station in Buffalo was asking about the pass catchers on the team. And you know, he took great offense to anybody could be asking about the skill position players of the team. How dare you? We have Khalil Shakur, whatever it is that they got. We got Curtis Samuel. How can you debate that? But you know what Brandon Bean does very well? And this is the most important job of any GM. And maybe this has always been the way, but it's becoming clearer and clearer in any sport, but especially this past offseason in the NFL. Your number one job is to insulate yourself from the coach of the team and cozy up and be the voice in the ear of the owner. And you saw that with a lot of teams. You would say, oh, that would seem to be the situation where there would be a clean sweep this offseason, right? Get rid of the coach, get rid of the GM, start a new whole process. It's completely rebuilt. Hasn't turned out to be that way. You take a look at the records of teams, and not necessarily the Bills would be in that because they have been a very successful regular season team. But if you're blaming the coach for not being able to get over the hump, why would the GM, is the roster just so elite that you would say, wow, the GM has done an amazing job. It's completely at the feet of the head coach. I don't think so. But you take a look at other GMs around the league, ones with far worse records than Brandon Bean, able to convince the owner, this is a coaching issue, it's not a talent issue. Andrew Berry in Cleveland. The Arizona GM, able to convince the owner out there, just got to get rid of the coach. Keep me. Don't get rid of me. Get rid of the coach. Bring in a new coach. It'll be all good. The Raiders GM, after the disaster that they had this past year. So when you look at what the GM's number one job is, it certainly seems like in the NFL, it's becoming more and more so. Insulate yourself so that you don't get the blame for the results of the team and you're the voice in that own. And the owners, maybe it's because the businesses have just become so big, and now they're not family businesses anymore. These teams are giant, you know, corporations. They're billion-dollar organizations being run by people who bought them because they like football, but they didn't come up in football. They're finance guys. They're tech guys. They're from the outside. So they need that voice to kind of tell them what's going on the inside. And that voice is the guy they sit with at the game, the GM. Can't sit with the coach at the game, right? He's busy coaching the team. And the connection there that I see when you look at the GM able to convince the owner, hey, it's not my fault, it's that guy's fault. Even when both guys come in at the same time and they have the same record, right? It's not a different team for the GM as it is for the coach. Are these reports now about the Jets with Darren Mooji, and that Darren Mooji has done a very good job, that the reports from people that are following the team and reporting on the team is there is no connection between Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji. They're not tied at the hip together. There's been a separation. And remember, when Darren Mooji got the job, I'm pretty sure it was at his press conference. Was it Woody Johnson that reported? I think it was Woody Johnson who said that Darren Mooji was Aaron Glenn's sidekick. So that would make you think, hey, wait a second. Aaron Glenn is the number one voice in the organization, but it's not the type of situation where Darren Mooji is reporting to Aaron Glenn. They're both reporting to the owner. But this idea, and you hear it from Jet fans, and certainly want to hear from you at 888-808-1019, that Jet fans feel far better about Darren Mooji's performance so far in the one-plus year that he's been here than Aaron Glenn. And I think that that has more to do with Aaron Glenn's lack of performance as the head coach. But I would say if both guys came in together, there's more time to determine how good of a job that Darren Mooji will do. And I'm not saying that you're going to get rid of him just yet. You're not going to get rid of Aaron Glenn. If you're not getting rid of Aaron Glenn, don't get rid of him. All right, fine. But why would they be on different tracks? Why would they be on different paths? What has Darren Mooji done that's so amazing that separates him from the mess that is the New York Jets? I know he got here like a day or two later than Aaron Glenn, but they came in together. They should be tied at the hip. Why would they not be? Because the number one failure of the Jets from last year is as much on Darren Mooji as it is on Aaron Glenn, and that would be the decision to sign Justin Fields. Going out right away, taking a look at the landscape of who's going to play quarterback, and saying, you know what? As soon as free agency rolls out, we're going to make a significant offer to Justin Fields. We're going to hand him a 2-year contract for $40 million, $30 million guaranteed. That's as much. Now, maybe part of the Justin Fields failure was a coaching failure. Sure. But I think that it's pretty clear that Justin Fields is not an NFL starting quarterback. And the Jets didn't get stuck with Justin Fields. They didn't look around and not be able to find anybody. Then at the last second, they had to. Nobody backed out of it. No. That was their plan A, was to go out and sign Justin Fields right away, despite his lack of production, despite the fact that he had been with a couple of teams and didn't really have the profile of someone who would be a good starting quarterback. They went out and were aggressive. And when they did that, the fact that, at least at the time, I felt like, you know what, maybe Aaron Glenn is the right guy. He's coached, he's worked his way up, he deserves the opportunity. He's a guy that wanted the job. So I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. So I'm not going to tell you, I said at the time, oh my God, why did they give that money to Justin Fields? But there were plenty of people that thought that. I was willing to give him a chance to see, hey, maybe they have a plan, and this is what it all comes down to: good organizations. Good organizations are able to get more out of a player's talent than bad organizations, right? The Steelers' version of Justin Fields was better than the Jets' version of Justin Fields. But why would that decision not be on Darren Mooji? But when you talk to Jet fans about why they like Darren Mooji so much, the number one thing that will always come up is that he was able to stockpile these draft picks. Yeah, the season wasn't going well, and they pivoted mid-season, before the trade deadline. They shipped out Sauce Gardner, got him out of here, got 2 number one picks. They traded away Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys, got more draft capital. And now the Jets are set up. They got 2 first-round picks this year. They got 2 second-round picks. They got a bunch of picks next year. 3 first-rounders next year in the draft as well, right? And I would just simply say, Darren Mooji has not proven anything yet. And what he has done, outside of the Justin Fields decision, which was a disaster, is the easy part. Being able to go out and turn around and take good players, talented players, young players, and turn them around for draft picks, that's not hard to do. So you might look at, well, the deal they got with Indianapolis. The Jets traded away a 2-time first-team All-Pro in Sauce Gardner, who's 25 years old. Now, you might have soured on Sauce. The Sauce might not be to your liking anymore. And you'd much rather have, especially when the Jets were playing like they were, hey, you know what? This guy's not going to be part of the solution. Get him out of here. We got 2 first-round picks. Great. It's not the worst thing in the world, right? Having draft picks is good. Quinnen Williams, a little bit older, what, 28 years old? Get him out of here. Get more draft picks. Get more draft capital. But that's the easy part. The next part is the hard part. You know, the reason why the Jets are in the position that they're in, it has not been from a lack of draft picks. They've had plenty of draft picks over the years. Over this, I would say, and I haven't done the math. I haven't asked ChatGPT. I haven't asked Claude. I haven't asked any of the AIs. But over the last 15 years, I would think if you did the numbers, it would be hard to not have more draft capital than the Jets have had. I mean, they've not had a winning season in forever. Every single year, the Jets are prominently featured. You don't have to wait long on draft night. You know, sometimes draft night, if you're picking even in the 15s and the 20s, it's a long wait until your pick finally comes up. You're all excited. The draft is starting, but it's all the team, you know, that top 10 takes a while. Nobody, it's not like, and that's the worst thing about fantasy sports is the guy who always waits the whole minute and a half to make his pick. Don't you hate that guy? Oh, I hate that. First round of the pick, first round of the draft, you got the second pick overall. Pick your guy. I hate that guy. But that's the way it works in the NFL. Teams are fielding offers. It's professional sports. It's not fantasy sports. But if you went through the last 15 years, what team could possibly have had more draft picks than the New York Jets? Getting the picks is not the hard part. It's like the thing from Seinfeld. Making the reservation, that's the easy part. Holding the reservation, that's the most important part of the reservation is the holding. Anybody can just take them. So yeah, anybody could just get the draft picks. It's actually landing players with those draft picks. And the first year, all right, they had, what, the seventh pick last year? They get Membu in the first round. They get Mason Taylor in the second round. Yeah, those guys look like they could be building block players. Maybe. But maybe if things don't improve this offseason, if Darren Mooji isn't able to go out there and turn all these draft picks in a draft that doesn't look like it's overloaded. It's not one of these star-studded drafts this year. There's good players, and especially where the Jets are picking. Number two, if you can't find a player there, well, then you really got problems. So maybe this is the year where the Jets in the first round and the second round, all these picks, they're all good. And I'm sure on draft night, that will be the story. No, there's no easier way to score a great draft grade than simply having a bunch of draft picks. But there's a reason generally those teams have a bunch of draft picks, because they stink. And the Jets have stunk. So the idea that Darren Mooji has accomplished anything or has separated himself in his partnership with Aaron Glenn, that is way too soon to be making that declaration. That will depend a large part on how he does at this draft. Now, last year, it seems like they got two really good players. Outside of that, jury's still out. It's the first year. It takes a while. Usually they say it takes 3 years to judge a draft. Given the situation that Aaron Glenn finds himself, and yes, the situation that Darren Mooji finds himself in, are you willing to bet that they got 3 years to find out how good these draft picks are going to turn out to be? I don't think so. I think the clock is ticking. It's ticking for Aaron Glenn going into the year. And I don't see any reason why it wouldn't also be ticking on Darren Mooji. 888-808-1019 is the telephone number. 888-808-1019. All right, just getting started. We'll get your phone calls in coming up. We'll hit some other NFL things, some betting perspectives. Very interesting when it comes to the Jets and their next quarterback. So we'll get into that. We'll hit on some baseball stuff with the Yankees, with Ryan McMahon. What are they doing with Ryan McMahon playing shortstop? Some Mets stuff. Lots to do. 888-808-1019. Just getting started on a Friday morning. It is Gordon Damer, your overnight oasis, right here on The Fan.